Good Monday morning, my peeps. It's Yo Adrian Talks, and I am so excited to have another amazing podcaster on here to talk to you guys today about happiness. So, Nicole Sharnum is here with us. So, Nicole, I'd love for you to introduce yourself to my listeners.
Hi, everybody. I am so happy to be here to join with you today. So my name is Nicole Sharanam and I'm from Australia. You can probably tell from the accent. G'day, mate. Yes, I'm in Torquay in Victoria. So for those of you probably know Melbourne. So I'm south of Melbourne. I'm on a beautiful coastal beach town. It's very stunning out here. And what do I do? So I run a podcast called Connectedly, which is all about helping women to redefine happiness in their life. And we're calling on a whole bunch of different people from all walks of life, experts, authors, scientists, and mystics to help us explore what happiness is and how to bring more of that into our life. So that is what the podcast is about. And then under that, I also do a whole bunch of other stuff. So I've been in marketing for about 20 years. And so I still do a lot of that on the side, a lot of consulting, a lot of private coaching, business coaching. And for me, it's mostly about exploring happiness and exploring self. That is what life is about for me. It's about getting to know who I am, why I do what I do, and I guess we weren't given an instruction manual, when we were born. None of us were given that. And wouldn't that have been great
It would
to have
be.
been?
It would be. It would be so much
So
easier, right?
yeah, absolutely. And so it would be lovely to be able to flick to page seven to find out, why did I do X, Y, or Z? Why did I respond that way? Why do I feel this way? Why am I not lit up today? And so that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to write or write my own instruction manual. I'm just, a big explorer of self.
It's
So
so
that's
important
really my
too. We
mission.
talk about that a lot on my podcast as well, just to get a lot of ours are female owned, they own their own businesses. A lot of them are working from home or in their own space. And that's what it is. A lot of these people have found that happiness can be rewritten, right? Like so many people think when they're little, it's 9 to 5 or whatever it is that they've been told, and like changing that up to figure out what it is you actually want. So when you're working with people, what's kind of the first thing you do to help them to start like exploring themselves, like figuring out what that actual happiness is for them? Because as my listeners are, working that, figuring out their business and what they enjoy doing and what they don't, it's such a big thing to find happiness, like to really figure that out and get in tune with yourself.
Okay. So what is the first thing that I do? Well, I listen, because if I was to sit there and start telling you how to find your happiness, well, I may as well put my foot in my mouth,
Of
because
course.
I think the first step is really listening, and that's actually a key for all of us. It's listening to ourselves, because often we are so busy doing, and I'm a mother of a 5-year-old, and life is busy, right? It's busy. And especially if you're a business owner, you're obviously driven, and you've got passions and you're creative in some way. So we're busy and life is full. I don't like the word busy. I should take that out. Life is full. Life is full. And as it should be. So stopping to listen to yourself, we don't do it enough. We're just moving constantly. And I love to listen, but also teach my clients and listeners to listen and to learn how to do that again and to give themselves permission to do so. Because no one else has your answers. No one else. Sure, books can give us a guide and they can say, hey, try this. And even in my podcast, hey, try this. Here's some tips, here's some techniques. Here's some different styles of ways that you can listen to yourself, but no one can tell you what your happiness is and how you can find your happiness. It's about you listening to yourself. And that's the biggest key, is I think giving ourselves permission to really stop. And I love to help my clients or listeners just to learn how to do that, different ways of being still, and whether it's meditation or whether it's listening to your inner child or whether it's honoring what we've been through in our past or honoring our desires, because we all have constant desires and wants, and it's learning where those desires come from. Are they in alignment with us, or is it just our ego going, go and get a new pair of shoes and say, you've got to do this and you've got to earn this money. You know, it's about really listening. So that's probably the main thing.
Yeah, for sure. And I love tons of stuff you said, because I think it's funny. I also am not a fan of the word busy. I'm like, you just didn't prioritize. I'm like, it's all about priorities, right? So they all, our listeners all know when I hear busy, I kind of do a little laugh about that one. And I think you're right. And I think that's what, why to me, it's such a silly word, because at any point we can prioritize our lives. Like, that's what we're doing. When we say we're busy, we're putting other things in front of, and a lot of times, like you're saying, you're putting it in front of yourself, right? Like in front of your growth and your personal, you know, movement. So I love the idea, you know, of those ways to take a minute and listen to yourself, so that you can, like you said, because everybody's different. There's no way to say, hey, do A, B, and C and you'll be happy, right? Because we all have different things that we love and different personalities. Is there a way that, or questions that you ask to help people kind of, or a couple of things that you would recommend so people can start exploring themselves? You know, I know you listen, but are there questions or trigger words or something like that, just to kind of get people to start when they're in that, when they finally tone down their busy and taking a moment for themselves to start focusing in on what is really filling my life? What is making my life full instead of busy, right?
Yeah. Well, I think as soon as you've given someone permission to actually switch gears and to stop just busy, busy, busy. I've got to do this. I've got to feel that. I've got to achieve this. And, you know, tick that box. As soon as you give someone permission to just stop and be with themselves, a whole bunch of stuff can come up. So I find personally, and also with clients and listeners, that when you can just stop and pause and literally be with yourself, which can be very, very intimidating for a lot of people, because we've been so busy, and in actual fact we've been filling ourselves with consuming, whether it be, you know, I've got to do this and I've got to achieve this, or I've got to you know, the task lists are never ending in business. We know that, like, it's never ending, but it's also in our own life. And we also do, well, now I want to watch TV. It's filling constantly, right? It's filling. And that's where I'm talking about the doing versus being. When we can stop doing and just sit with ourselves for a minute and allow, and the way that I do that so practically is by closing my eyes and I deep breathe and I just allow myself to sit with what is for a minute. And it can be as quick as 3 deep breaths. And you'll find that stuff comes up. You can hear, to start with, there's a lot of voices, you know, but I got to do this and I've got my shopping list and I've got, and I can hear the kids screaming or tugging at my sleeve, because that literally happens to me mid-meditation about 27 times during my 1 hour of meditation. So,
so, you know, true.
it's never ending, right? That's life to me. When my child is pulling on my sleeve physically, I take that as a sign that there's a part of me that wants to play. There's a part of me that needs to listen to my inner child. There's a part of me that goes, hey, do you remember me when I was 7 and I wanted to play, and the joy that I used to exude just from playing and living and in every moment? What about me? Like, I'm here, you know? And I find that that voice is often pushed the more we're trying to achieve and do with our business, and more we have to squash that inner child and the joy and the fun and the spark and the creative and the play, because there's so much to do. So if we can stop and just be and listen, and that 3 deep breaths, the more you do that, then you can start taking it further and doing, for me, I love to have an hour meditation every morning. And now I know that's a lot for a lot of people. I've had so many people say to me, but I'm a mum, I have four kids, I've got a job and I'm a single parent, and doing is never ending. It is never ending. I personally find that I have to get up at 5 or 5:30 in the morning because that's how I find my time. If I don't get up at that time, I can't get an hour in. And that's okay. On those days, I don't beat myself up. I find space with three deep breaths. If that's all I can get that day, that's okay. Three deep breaths.
Yeah, I think the grace is a huge part of it too, because I know, like you said, when you start to take those moments for yourself, all those things are going to pop up, right? Like, I have to do this, or I should do this, or, you know, I worry what this person think, or all those things. But like I've always learned, you have to realize that those are normal behaviors. These are normal thoughts. These are normal things that are happening. Even if you can't find time to do it one day, like we start, you know, being hard on ourselves instead of allowing ourselves to say, hey, you know what? Yes, today my life was a little bit busier than most days, whatever got in the way. But that's okay. I can still do it tomorrow, instead of, like, you know, putting the hammer down, like, you couldn't even do that. You know what I mean? Like that shunning of yourself type deal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's having grace, which you said, I love that word, but also self-compassion. And a few of the experts that I've brought on, there's so many, I have learned personally so much just through interviewing the people on my podcast. I'm sure you have too. You know, it's not like we're masters walking through this life going, everything, I'm here to teach you and I know everything. So, you know, it's not that. It's actually, I want to learn. Mm-hmm. I'm a forever student. Teach me. And I have learned so much just through listening. And some of the things that they've said is self-compassion is crucial, and being your best friend. So imagine, flip it on its head, flip the narrative on its head. When you start being mean to yourself and doing the, yeah, but I've got this to do, or you didn't treat the kids nice today, or you didn't, you know, do your three deep breaths, stop for a minute and flip that and say, if I was my best friend, if I was talking to my best friend, what would I say to her or him? And then say that back to yourself.
I say that all the time. I'm like, whether you have to picture your best friend or your kid, like, would you look at your kid and be like, you failed today, you didn't even do this? You would never say that.
We're so harsh, aren't we? We are so harsh to ourselves. And it's funny because, you know, I say this to you, and it's not, as I've just said, I am not the martyr. I'm not someone that walks around, you know, exuding Zen 24/7. I can have a meditation and then 5 seconds later be like, at my kid, you know? Like, this is reality. This is life. We are learning. We are constantly learning and moving, and all of those things are okay. My biggest constant within all of that is, how do I learn from that? And how do I learn from what that barking that I just did at my kid? How can I learn from that and go, okay, so I barked at my kid, or I told my partner off at not doing the dishes the way that I would do them. How could I do it better next time? Why did I get triggered that way? Looking in, constantly looking in and being aware. Because when you're aware, not only is that going to help you be better in your life, but it's going to help you be better with your business. It's going to help you know what works for you, what doesn't work for you. What are your values? What's the messaging that you have? Communication is huge. Your messaging is huge. If you don't have that right, it's not going to reach your audience. And it comes from knowing yourself and your values and your why.
And I love that, because when you say self-compassion, like, I've been really working on even like compassion with others. I was talking with my daughter, and obviously teenagers, right? It's tough. Like, you're in a whole environment of people trying to learn themselves and figure themselves out and all of those things. And I was telling her, you know, when something was annoying her or whatever. And I was like, you know, you have to have compassion for yourself, but you have to remember these people have a whole story. They have a whole life you don't know about going on behind the scenes as well. So I love that you bring in self-compassion, but also, like when you were saying, like when you're, you know, lash out at your kids or your husband, you have compassion, like, hey, let me look in and figure that out. But also realizing they might have triggered you because whatever they're going through, right? Like finding that compassion for others and yourself. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how you can really start flipping a lot of that. Like you said, looking in, figuring out what triggered, but then also realizing other people are going to get triggered, right? Like by different things. You don't know what, because like you said, we all don't have manuals. It would be great if I could hand you my manual and be like, Nicole, read this and we'll be able to get along just fine.
Truth is, to be honest, most people wouldn't read that manual because most people are so invested in their own life. They're not, they don't care to read your manual. Who's got time to read your manual, right?
Exactly.
So the key here is read your own manual or create your own instruction manual and then learn how to exude the best possible version of yourself so that you're not constantly, look, we are always going to get triggered. None of us are going to be masterful Zen. Well, some of us might get there, but
it takes a lot of work and yes.
Most of us aren't going to be. So it's just learning how to master yourself. And the way that I love to think of it is that theory, which many of you might have heard the concept of, that be that, you know, we're not just actors in our own movie. To me, a lot of people see it as, but I'm an actor in this movie and everyone else is actors. But beyond that, we are also our directors. And we are also our producers. We are not just the actor and the director. We're the producer. It's about stepping out of what we're in and looking down, almost like, not down, that seems negative, looking like bird's eye view at the bigger picture and constantly removing ourselves and seeing the person that we're interacting with as well. So, yes, they're triggered. It's a story. It's a movie that's playing out. What is the story? What's the script? What's the bigger, greater story here? So it's a constant full-time thing. This is not something that, for me personally, I know this isn't for everybody. For me, it is a full-time game that you're playing with your mind to constantly remove yourself and step back and go, oh, you know, why did that happen? Why did I do that? Why did they do that? Less why did they do that? More why did I do that? Because mostly the reason they did that was because of me.
Right. Yes.
That can be mind-blowing for someone. What? So you mean they yelled at me because of something that it's always my fault? Well, in my world, the way that I see things, my perspective is yes. It's hard to swallow because it's huge and it's complex. But I always think that if this is my movie and I'm the actor but the director and the producer, then whatever I do creates a situation that is whatever I get, right? So I am never the victim here. I am always the producer.
And I love that because I think that is a hard thing for people to understand. Like, you know, they say, like, you look at your, you know, your marriage, your pocketbook, whatever, that's what you've created, right? Like you get to create your whole life the way you want it. And that's, you know, and like you said, it's a hard pill for a lot of people to swallow when they hear that and be able to, start taking control of it, like figuring out, like you said, I think it all goes back to figuring out happiness. I think some people think they need a certain amount of money to be happy, or they need a certain relationship to be happy, or a certain, you know what I mean? And instead of like really figuring out, like, yes, that might be what makes Nicole tick, but what does it make Adrian tick? What, you know, like go back to yourself, because we don't all have the same things that make us happy. We don't all have the same traits, the same personalities. Those types of things. So I love that you're, you know, kind of say that about the producer, like overseeing the whole thing and knowing that you have control of the way this movie's going to play out. But that's also, like I said, it's a hard pill to think about.
It's not easy. It's a, you know, if we think of the board games we used to play as kids, I mean, it's complex, right? They've taken the instruction manual away from you on this board game, and it's not just a simple snakes and ladders game. There's like a whole bunch of board games on top of each other, you know? And it is complex, but I must add something here that it can get very complex, and we shouldn't beat ourselves up if we can't always get it right or see it clearer or see that, you know, if I just said you're the producer of your movie and you can create what you want, I know that then people will say to me, but then why haven't I got what I want? Right? And that can constantly come up, but then why haven't I got what I want? And there's lots of barriers and lots of different reasons. It's not just one thing. It's not just, well, you haven't been able to step back and see the bigger picture. There's lots of things. Lots of things get involved. Yes. So it's pulling that apart and understanding and seeing all the different levels of board games to try and see, like, what game am I playing on this level? It's almost like that, you know, what level am I on now? What game am I playing? Oh, okay. And constantly stepping back, and self-compassion and grace, as we already said, is huge in this game. Huge.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Because you've got, like you said, you've got layers of life that have happened to you, and, you know, your life along with others that have played into yours, your whole direction. And so there's lots of levels and lots of different things that, you know, you have to take into account when you're
Absolutely.
Trying to work through producing this movie, right? Like,
oh, and don't forget that there's other people that are on different levels of the board game, and they're like, but they don't understand your level. They're kind of like, but I'm playing this game. And you're like, well, I'm playing this game, so get on board. You know, sometimes you're just on different levels. It's okay. Yes. You know, it's self-compassion, you know?
Yes. And I think that's so big, right? Like being able to find that, that compassion and that grace for yourself and for others, so that you can, you know, keep moving forward to find your happiness. And I'm so grateful you brought so much of this to the forefront, because it is such an amazing way to look at it. I always ask, you know, my speakers too, if you were to give one piece of advice to my listeners to go forth, you know, to start really finding their true happiness and what's really, you know, going to help them find that. It's so hard to find that happiness sometimes because of all the things playing in, right? You're worried about other people. You're worried about your family. You're worried to calm that. What would be the biggest piece of advice you could give my listeners?
Yeah. Well, we've said self-compassion is huge, but within this journey, and I think for me, it's understanding that, yes, it can feel complex. Some of the things I've said might feel like they are big pills to swallow. Remember that at its simplest, I believe we are all inherently, our nature is happiness. I believe in our nature, our inherent nature is happiness. So if we can just stop and step away from the constant mind chatter and come back to that concept, that we don't actually have to do anything to achieve happiness. We don't have to chase the dangling carrot of, but I have to have this, but I should have that, but I need them and I need that money and I need this. If we stop all that and just come back to self, we are happiness at its core. We just have to remember how to unleash that and let it out. That's would be my biggest tip.
I love that. That is so true, because we all have happiness, like you said, inside us. That's our nature. That's what we all want. And I think that is it, right? There's all these outside things we're constantly looking at saying, in order to be happy, I need this. But if you can't find happiness now, you'll never find it, no matter what carrots dangled in front of you and how many of them you put in your little satchel, right? Like, you'll never find that happiness until you can find it where you're at in this moment, right? Like,
yeah, correct.
Because it's within you, it's in your core. That is such a great point.
You might achieve happiness, but it'll be momentary. It'll be fleeting. It'll be, I've got a pair of shoes, so I feel good. And the moment that has died off, because it does, you'll need it again. So that's pleasure. That's not happiness. So we're talking contentment and inner contentedness. That to me is ultimate happiness. Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that you said that. Actually, I'm going to take that back to my daughter too, because we were talking about that, like, especially in our society now, right? With like the constant, you know, in your feet, like it's happening right now. It's super exciting right now, but 5 seconds from now, it's not anymore. And it's like, wait a minute, you just achieved something or did something or are happy about something. I was like, just because that was yesterday and today's today, you still carry that. And I feel like when we were younger, we would still have to tell 20 people about this exciting thing that happened to us. Well, now you make one post on social media and then you never talk about it again. Look, right? Like, it's like, okay, it happened, now on to the next thing, instead of like really enjoying that moment for what it is, right? For really taking in that happiness and being like, wow, like this is what I wanted. And you can carry that for a while instead of letting it, like you said, just be that moment of happiness and then on to the next.
Yeah, absolutely. Breathing it in and holding it and remembering that it's always with you. And, you know, again, I want to raise that self-compassion piece, because there's so many people that are doing it tough and that have mental health issues, or that feel like they've got a lot of heavy trauma and heavy stuff happening right now. And so achieving happiness feels hard. You know, it's not like, well, I can't just do what she says and just, you know, be happy. That's not quite what I'm saying. I'm saying that even when you're sad and even when you're going through trauma and even when you're going through really big, hard, challenging stuff, way down underneath that at its core, you're still you and you've still got this beauty and you've still got this inherent happiness deep, deep, deep below all that.
Right.
So, yeah.
Oh, I love that. If you really look at that as the, you know, what you were put here for and the purpose is that, you know, there are going to be hard times. And like you said, people are going to struggle and there's going to be moments, but remembering that there is always things that are happiness around you. I mean, sometimes it's taking that moment to go, okay, outside of all these hard things that are happening, find that light, that one thing that can kind of boost that happiness to just help you through, right? Help
Absolutely.
You through, you know, the dark tunnel, that little light. I mean, that's why they say that, right? Like sometimes it just takes a little bit and then you can, you know, feel a whole lot more. So thank you for sharing that. That's incredible. I really love a lot of what you have to say. And I know our my listeners can take some of that. And that's what I would love for you guys to do is come to the Facebook group, as we always do. And, you know, share that what you're going to do to take that moment for yourself this week, how you're going to plan that in, because I think it is important to plan it, you know, to make some time. And like Nicole said, whether it's a lot of time or a little bit of time, if we can just take that time, I would love for you to share how you're doing that so we can all learn from each other and take those moments for ourselves to really reflect on ourselves and our happiness. So thank you so much, Nicole, for coming on.
You're very, very welcome.
Awesome. Well, you guys, until next week, when Yo Adrian talks, realize the power is within you. Do you want your life to be more flexible? Do you wish you had a house on the beach? Do you want to travel more? Do you yearn for financial stability? Would you love to be your own boss? We all have a different dream life. It is literally so different for everyone. I help each person individually figure out what they really want, and then we work on your mindset and actions to start creating the life you've always wanted. So if you're interested, go to yoadriantalks.com. Click on coaching and check out all my different coaching programs so that you can start having the life that you deserve.